Byron is gone for a couple of weeks here, and so for the next 3 weeks, he's called up the B team, okay? So I'll be doing the next couple of weeks, and then Matt will come in here in a couple of weeks and preach as well. So, but we're going to continue on in this series called Meet Jesus as we journey through the Gospel of Mark. And there's an outline there on the back for you. We'll get to that in just a moment. But as Byron has led us through this exploration of the person of Jesus Christ, we have learned several things about him. I think the first week he talked about this, that Jesus was a man of authority. He talked about that Jesus is a friend to all. On Mother's Day, he talked about Jesus being a family man, about his mother and then the rest of his family. And then last week, he talked about how Jesus is a calming presence. Well, we're going to go into chapter 5 this morning in the book of Mark. And I think that when we do that, as we read through this, you're going to see that this chapter can be summed up by saying that Jesus was a man of power. A man of power. And as we go through this chapter, you're going to see that power came from just a simple touch from Jesus. So the question I have for you this morning is, how do you feel when someone touches you? Weird? I mean, so here's what we're going to little experiment. If you're able, stand up. And then turn to someone that maybe you didn't come with. Okay? All right? When you find that individual, reach out your hand and shake hands. That's not too bad, right? All right. Now stay where you are. Stay where you are. Stay where you are with that person. I'm going to lose you. This isn't greeting time. This is sermon time. Come on. All right. So with that same individual, you shook hands. That's no big deal. So then just reach your arms out. I'm not going to make you hug each other. But some of you had a panic attack. You can sit down. Some of you had a panic attack when I was going to make you hug someone you didn't come with, all right? Like, I don't do that. And so, you know, but touch is a very powerful thing. I saw an article once about how powerful the human touch is, and lots of studies that have been done on the devastating effects of babies who are deprived from the human touch. I was talking with Joy Emmons before service this morning. I know she used to go into the hospitals and hold the babies. And she told me the story of one little baby who couldn't be held, but that baby held on to her finger. It's the power of human touch and the healing that comes through human touch sometimes. And I think the same is true when it comes to adults. So whether it causes you to have a panic attack or not, there is power that comes through just a hug. So, you know, think about that as you go out this morning and you're shaking hands and you're giving a hug. Is that the only hug they're going to see this week? There's power in that. There's power in that. So this morning, as we continue this journey of meeting Jesus through the Gospel of Mark, we're going to look at the story of two touches. Two touches. As we find in Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21. And these two touches, they had this power that came from the person of Jesus through those touches. This story is about two women. We're going to go through the story kind of slowly and not just read it off the screen. We're going to go through it kind of slowly and explain parts of it, and then we'll kind of wrap it up at the end. But this story, it's about two women. One woman, it was about 12 years old. In that culture, she would have been considered a woman, kind of equivalent to like a 17 to 20-year-old in our culture, ready to marry, ready to enter adulthood. So here we have a 12-year-old who has this life-threatening illness. And then we have a woman who's older. We don't know how old, but a woman who is older who has had an illness for 12 years. So on one hand, we have a 12-year-old who is sick and another woman who's been sick for 12 years. Found that interesting. Let's go through the story. Let's start with the younger girl. And this girl is not just any normal girl or any regular girl, any random girl in the community. This is the daughter of Jairus. J- Jairus was the leader of the synagogue in that area. He would have been a big deal in town. He would have been a big deal around that area. And that means that the daughter was probably a big deal as well. The closest equivalent here in our culture of that much power and that much, maybe a governor or you know, president of the United States. And you think about a president of the United States with a sick daughter. What's that president going to do? He's going to go to the ends of the earth to find the doctor because he's got the resources to find the doctor that will heal his daughter. And if you're the doctor that the president calls on to ask to come and heal my daughter, what do? You clear your schedule and you hop on Air Force One that they sent to you. And you go, well, maybe they don't send Air Force One, but you know, you hop on a plane, you head to D.C. because that's the power that he holds. That's kind of what's going on here, starting in verse 21. If you'll read what's on screen there, Jairus is the big man in town here. And he is so worried about his daughter, his daughter is so sick, that he walks up to Jesus, this powerful man, in the middle of this huge crowd that had gathered around Jesus at this point. He walked right up to Jesus and begged him. Mark writes this, verse 22. Jairus arrived, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come. Lay your hands on her. Heal her so that she can live. So Jairus falls at the feet of Jesus. This powerful leader falls at the feet of a teacher and begs him to come back with him so that his daughter can be healed by his powerful touch. You have this very popular girl, Jairus' daughter. Everyone knows her. Probably a lot of people in that crowd knew her. And everyone becomes worried at this point, and they start following Jesus as Jesus starts walking to the house. Verse 24, Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. So if you don't like to be touched, you probably, good thing you weren't Jesus, right? You know, you don't have that big crowd right around you, circling you and right up against you. They were crowding around him, and then something happens. This other lady enters the scene. And we don't know much about her, but we do know that she had a bleeding for 12 years. And she's been to the doctor. Doctors couldn't help her. She spent a lot of money at the doctor. Doctor couldn't help her. In fact, it's gotten worse over time. She's been bleeding for 12 years, and nobody had a cure for her. Now, with our modern ears, we hear 12 years. Well, it sounds like she's living, so I guess she's okay. But if you really stop and get a grasp of what's really going on here. These are Jewish people who lived strictly by the law of Moses. And that law states that a woman on her cycle at that point was unclean. Unclean. And an unclean person must be removed from the community into outside of the camp and put into some isolation in that time here because she was unclean. So in the case of a normal cycle there, it was designed to protect her, to keep her husband away and be alone until that time passed. And then when that passed, she would have a purification ceremony and be restored back to community. So imagine now, this has been 12 years of this. 12 years this has been going on. So not only is this condition horrible, but she has been unclean, removed from community for 12 years. We talked about the power of touch. No one, at least by the law, had been able to touch her for 12 years. No hug, or else they too would be unclean. Isolation for 12 years. Years. And I wonder who those people are today. Those people who kind of live in isolation. We think about the widows. We think about those who have few friends and family and are alone. I've read, scrolling on Facebook recently, and came across something called cuddle therapy. Everybody heard of cuddle therapy? Yeah, it's you pay big bucks for someone to cuddle with you, just to get that human touch. Nothing more. Just a cuddle therapy, good cuddle session. And as I was reading that, I thought, well, who would pay for that? And I was thinking, it's like, well, the people who maybe don't receive that touch. There's power in a hug. There's power in human touch. That's why I said, think about this as you're leaving this morning and you're giving hugs and you're giving handshakes and you think, is this all they're going to receive this week? There's power in that. There's power in that. Back to the story here. The woman, she's unclean, right? She's unclean, supposed to be removed from community there. But she musters up this courage, okay? There's a crowd around Jesus, crowding him. But she musters up this courage and pushes through the crowd, probably touching a lot of people on her way, which would technically make them unclean. Pushing through this crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. Look at this with me in verse 27. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. And she was. Verse 29, immediately the bleeding stopped. 12 years, and then immediately the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. And what a moment that must have been for her, and as we see here for Jesus, because I love his response to this. In verse 30, he stops in the middle of this huge crowd, people probably rubbing up against him all afternoon walking. He stops and he asks, who touched my robe? Now, a couple of things here. And the disciples actually addressed one of those things with him. In verse 31, they said, Jesus, look at this crowd pressing around you. How are you going to ask who touched you? Everyone's touching you. You know, you're in the middle of this huge crowd. How are you going to ask who just touched my robe? Everyone has touched your robe today. You're walking and people are touching your robe. But secondly, I like this because I like reading questions asked by Jesus. Because, I mean, he's Jesus, right? So he's 100% human, but he's also 100% God. And I think he knows the answer to those questions. So when you read it and there's a question made, asked by Jesus, I think he's asking that question to make a point to the crowd he's in. Who touched my robe? Go back to verse 30. It says, Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Lots of people had touched his robe that day, but never once did healing power leave him until the woman came up to touch his robe. Continues on and says, then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. He sees this woman. He sees the desperation in her. He sees the courage that it took for her to push through the crowd like that. And then he touched her and says this, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Daughter, your faith has made you well. And while he was still speaking to this woman, here comes some people from Jairus' house. Remember, he's going to save Jairus' daughter, to heal her from the sickness. As he's still talking to her, here comes some people from Jairus' house saying, it's too late, don't worry about it. She already died. And he turns to Jairus, because Jesus overheard this conversation. He turns to Jairus. Now remember, he just told this lady, your faith has made you well. And then he turns to Jairus because he overheard them. And he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. He says to the lady, your faith has made you well. And then he says, don't be afraid, just have faith. And then here's where an interesting thing happens. Jesus leaves the crowd behind. He only takes with him a few people into that room with him, Peter, James, and John. He only takes a select few with him into this room of the dead girl. And he walks in and he sees the weeping happening in the room. He sees the sadness in the room, just the disappointment that was on the family members' faces. And he went inside, it says in verse 39, he went inside and he asked this, again, a question from Jesus. Why all this commotion and weeping? He said, this child isn't dead. She's only asleep. The people in the room started laughing at him. Like, no, she's dead. Look at her. She's dead. And she was. She was dead. But when Jesus used this word, she's only asleep, he was proclaiming what was about to happen. When you are dead, you're dead. When you're asleep, you're going to wake up. And then he touched her. He touched her in verse 42. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. And this is the people who were just laughing at him, they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. She was dead, but he says she's about to wake up. Now let's look at these two touches for a moment. Both of these touches, in both cases, these touches were forbidden. Remember Jewish law? Remember that? The law of Moses, it clearly stated that if a person touches an unclean person or a dead body, then you yourself became unclean. These were forbidden touches on both accounts. But the uncleanliness here, if that's a word, uncleanliness, that's the powerful agent here, okay? That when Jesus touches the unclean thing, the power is reversed. This is the power of Jesus' touch. This is the power of the touch that comes from Jesus himself to make that which the law declares as unclean to become clean. I'll make one more observation about the story, then we'll head into the program outline here and wrap this up. But notice what has to happen to each of these two women to be restored to health, to be restored back to community, to be made clean. This woman who was on the margins of society, this woman who had been kind of isolated from community, has to come into the middle of community to be restored. Who touched my robe? Let's make a point of what just happened here. And he touched the unclean woman and restores her to community in the midst of community. This woman who was on the margins of society was now the center of attention in the middle of community. And then we have Jairus' daughter, on the other hand, who probably enjoyed the limelight. She's Jairus' daughter. She probably had the privilege of living right in the center of community her entire life. But she had to move outside the community. She had to die. And Jesus had to meet her in the darkness of isolation in order to restore her before she could receive this healing touch, before she could be brought back to life. I don't know that these are accidental details that Mark includes here, because Jesus has come to turn the world upside down. He brought the woman from isolation into the community and the woman in the community into isolation in order to show his power. In order to show that we can all have life and we can all be made clean. The kingdom of God calls those who are marginalized to be brought into community, and those who have this elite attitude, status, and privilege to put that to death in order to be made clean. So what can we learn from this? If you have your outlines here, we're going to finally get to this. But what can we learn from this story? How can this story help us to know who Jesus is as we journey through this series together? Well, I think the question that we can ask is this. How do you need to be touched by God today? What is it in your life that you need to be touched by God today? Let's look at these three lessons we need to learn from this story. Number one is this. We need to recognize our need. We need to take a moment and recognize that we have a need for an outside source of power that's not our own. If you take a look at Jairus in verse 23, he's at the end of this rope, and Mark writes that he pleaded fervently with Jesus. He pleaded with Jesus. He says, "My daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her," because he noticed, He recognized that's where the power came from. Please come, lay your hands on her so she can live. And this other woman also came to a realization that nothing that she was doing or nothing that she could do was enough to heal her. That she needed the power that only comes from that touch from Jesus. In verse 26, she had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she'd gotten no better. In fact, she'd gotten worse. Verse 27 says, she had heard about Jesus, so she came. So what is it? What is it in your life? What is it in your life that you have spent way too much time trying to fix on your own? That you need to relinquish control of and recognize your need for an outside source of power, an outside touch from God Himself. Recognize our need for power. Number two, we need to demonstrate our faith. One of my favorite scriptures, verses of scripture is from James chapter 2. It says, you say you have faith, for you believe there is one God, you believe in God. Okay, great, good for you, he says. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. I love that verse. Because what it says is, there's a chance that the demons have a little bit more faith than I do. That's a challenge to me. Why? Because their actions reflect their belief. They are trembling in terror because they believe. What is our actions saying of us? And our belief. If you look at Jairus again as he's pleading with Jesus, that same verse, he demonstrates his faith in the powerful touch of Jesus by saying, you know, hey, my daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her so she can live. There's no doubt there. That's a matter of fact statement. Please come, lay your hand so she can live. That's demonstrating faith. And this other lady, she heard about Jesus. It says she heard about Jesus. So it says she came up behind him through the crowd, touching everybody she had to along the way, and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. There's no doubt there. If I can just touch his robe, that's what's going to heal me. That's demonstrating faith. Faith. How do you need to be touched by God today? What is it in your life that you need to relinquish control of and recognize your need for His power? Take that step of faith. Put your faith in His power. Whatever that step looks like for you, and I can't tell you what that is. You want a relationship healed? Take that step of faith. Financial stability, take that step of faith. You want a physical or emotional healing, take that step of faith. And only when we take that step of faith, after recognizing our need for His power, can we get to number three, which is to be ready to experience His power. Now let me be clear here that I'm not saying every time you pray a prayer of healing, or every time you pray a prayer of whatever it is that's in your life, that you're going to get answered exactly the way you want. Because I have prayed prayers that did not get answered. I have prayed prayers of healing and then I watched the health fade. But it's in those times that God can grant us what Scripture calls the peace that transcends all understanding, as we're asking, well, why not me? But what we do need to be is expectant of His power. We need to be expectant of His power. You've recognized that you can't do it, right? You've taken a step of faith to show God that, hey, I know that you can do it and I want you to do it. Be expectant of His power. That's the only way we can ever experience His power, is to put it into His hands. Jesus' words to the older woman here is very encouraging to me. And we're gonna end with this here this morning. Look at back at verse 34. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Think about that. She worked her way through the crowd just to touch the hem of His robe. A lot of people touched His robe that day and went home with the same afflictions they came with. But her faith in his power is what made her well. If I could just touch his robe, I'm going to receive the power that comes from him. And he turned to her and said, daughter, your faith has made you well. So as we're on this journey to meet Jesus, we have to recognize our need for his power, demonstrate our faith in his power, and then be expectant to experience his power. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for these stories that we can look at and say, God, we need to take those steps of faith. We need to understand that we don't hold any power. In both of these examples, God, we see that it was recognized where the power came from. So, God, whatever it is in our lives this morning that we're struggling with, whatever it is that we're trying to deal with, and we're not having any luck, we've spent years trying to get rid of this, whatever it is, God, help us to recognize our need for your power. Because it's only through your power that we can be made clean. It's through the power of the cross that we have gained access to heaven. So it's only through his power that we can relinquish whatever it is that's in our lives that's holding us back. Help us to give that to you, God, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.